Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Episode. What is it? He had an Apple
appointment? Yeah, he had an appointment at the Genius Bar.
Yeah. Hope everything goes well over there. Today we are going to be reviewing the Robert Rodriguez, Ben Affleck movie Hypnotic, which should be an interesting time. Also doing, obviously going to touch on Succession and some other news. And we're going to do a Justice League casting draft as part of our talking about some new DC stuff. Speaking of which, like, I'm just, every single time I see an interview with James Gunn, it's like, it's so funny because he's on the circuit obviously for Guardians, and they're just like, yeah, so who's Superman, who's this, who's all these things for your competing organization for this movie that you're promoting. It's kind of sucks for him.
He's such a nice guy too. He is like held off on being like, just shut the fuck up please. Yeah. But I think he hit his breaking point this weekend when he tweeted out, he was like, I'm not making comments right now on like people getting auditions, not getting auditions. Like, I'm not talking about it. So quit asking.
Yeah. I think people think because he's like, was more accessible as a director than Feige ever was, because he wasn't a director, obviously, that they can like, that he'll answer shit. And he's always pretty open on Twitter too, I feel like, when people ask him shit. So they think he's more approachable, but he's like, he needs to put on like the Feige hat. And
yeah,
like,
I mean,
you know, nothing's getting out.
Now what he says like affects like stock prices and shit like that.
Exactly.
So like, he can't. You just can't do that anymore.
But before we get into that, today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is dedicated to bringing you the increase in your confidence and level up to your body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with a lawnmower 4.0, a waterproof cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to help round out your grooming routine. Whether you're trimming or doing anything else, this is the best trimmer on the market. It features a ceramic blade designed to cut hair on loose skin and reduce grooming incidents. You don't want that. Thanks to advanced skin-safe technology, it also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer, because we know how painful chafing can be when you're wearing your bathing suit all day and or you got shit just banging around, especially when everything's hanging lower in the summer. And last, but not least, they have the ultimate nose hair trimmer, the Weed Whacker 2.0, and you get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, which is a $39 value, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxers. Having the right tools for grooming is essential. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get ready for the summer. Manscaped Performance Package 4.0.
Literally get ready for the summer. Friday I went out and it was very hot and I hadn't cleaned the bushes in a while. Saturday morning I got up, I took care of the lawn, and let me tell you, it felt great. I went outside, laid out for a little bit. Felt really nice.
Everything's nice and smooth down there. Everything's like airy.
I like it when you shave your balls and then it gets really humid out.
Yeah.
Your balls like hanging down to your knees.
Dude, it's great.
It's the best feeling in the world.
And now you don't have to worry about them getting all chafed up because you got the toner and everything else as well. You get 20% off with free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping, the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. Thanks to the folks at Manscaped, our best friends. I was just, me and my girlfriend were talking to somebody and we just referenced, or we ended up bringing up the whole crotch full of pubes bit.
Oh yeah. All time.
That took a remarkable amount of effort because of how bad I am at coaching what I want people to sing and how bad she was at accepting direction towards anything.
Oh my god. Because
like, I don't know how to, like, because she's like, she did singing her entire life, and like, I've never sang ever, so I don't know how to explain to her what to do. I'm like, get your pitch up, I guess. Like, and but she knows what she's talking about. She's like, that's not what you're talking about.
Sound more like Emma Stone, please.
It was such a fucking battle. But obviously that worked out pretty well. That was still funny when Trill and Jeff thought it was over after like the opening like two lines.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, it sounded pretty accurate.
Got the whole rest of the song to go. First news item, the Superman apparently has its official top choice with David Corn Sweat.
Brutal name.
I mean, talk about, you're in the one industry where you can get a stage name very easily and just switch it from something, anything else than Dave Corn Sweat.
Is it David or Daniel?
David, or I had it as David. Is it Daniel? It's David.
Yeah. I sneaky do think this name helps him.
Corn Sweat?
Corn Sweat? I mean, that sounds like Kansas.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good
Corn
point.
His last name is Daniel Corn.
Corn Sweat.
Corn Sweat. They like to sweat.
Like, translates to blue corn. Collar.
He's literally, and he's everyone, by the way, I posted this. I don't know if it's his face, but when we posted the top candidates to IG, everyone was like, can we get an American actor in there? Please, one American. He is from Philly. Mm. He's from the armpit of America. He's as American as it gets.
I think you did a training or something in England. Was that it? Oh, no. I thought I did like a...
So it is David.
Wait, were you looking at the right guy, right? It is David?
Man, David, this is not a hot start.
Wait, but... Oh, I guess
yeah,
that,
it's yeah. David.
David
it's
Corn. David. David Corn. Dave Corn Sweat sounds better. That sounds more American than Daniel.
Old Davey Corn Sweat.
Dave Corn Sweat. You might recognize it from a couple of things. He was the love interest in Pearl. Who that dude? When you watch, if anyone that's watched Pearl, the guy that she likes that runs the movie theater is about the most American looking dude that's ever exist, which is obviously Davey Corn. But he was also a cop in We Own the City, which is a really good miniseries. Same guy that made The Wire.
He was in that Hollywood series too.
Yeah,
he was like sleeping with the older woman.
No one's talking about that.
I remember that. That's one of those Netflix series that came out and everybody talked about it for 3 days.
Was that? That was what's his name, right? American Horror Story guy,
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah,
maybe.
That fuck.
But anyways, he's the top choice apparently.
Let's see.
Nick Holt's in there.
Nick Holt would be like, I don't think he's a good Superman.
No, not at all.
Good Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
It's the jaw. He doesn't have the right jaw for it.
No. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It was just called Hollywood and it was by Ryan Murphy. Yeah. All right. That was close enough. How the fuck I remember that, but then messed up his name, which I just wrote down. Anyway, that's Corn Sweat. I think he's like not actually a terrible choice when you just look at his general, like he looks like Superman, like facially.
He looks like Henry Cavill.
Yeah. He looks a lot like we got Henry Cavill at home. You know what I mean? Which is fine because like you want to jumpstart, get a younger guy, and especially because the year that they picked right for Superman.
Yeah.
So I think that's better off for it.
They never really pick big names for, that's like, you know, like the James Bond kind of casting where you don't want an actor that's already associated with other franchises, other big roles. Like you want the big role that they have to be your role.
Yeah. And that was basically the same thing with Cavill at that point. It was like, what, fucking Immortals and other smaller ones? And nothing. Then it's just that. The next thing, last really big news item of the weekend so far, or the weekend's over, so it's not so far. But the Origin of the Species kind of rounded out more of their cast. It's got a sick cast so far. Ana de Armas, Jude Law, Alicia Vikander, Daniel Brühl. Now it's Daniel.
Daniel Brühl,
not David Brühl.
Brühl.
They've been cast. It's Ron Howard's movie. It follows an erotic. I mean, Ana de Armas.
I mean,
chill with the erotic stuff.
I mean, you gave the cast not just Ana de Armas. Jude Law just gets better looking by the year.
But I will say, back to back erotic movies for Ana de Armas with was it fucking Dark Sweat or whatever?
Dark Waters.
No,
Snail Dark, movies.
Yeah, that one, and then also you could consider I think the Blonde as a.
I thought you were going to say,
what, Ghosted?
Yeah, definitely Ghosted. Not. Erotic thriller, Ghosted.
No, definitely not. But back to back for those, and those were
as in movies. I paused the movie 20 minutes in to jack off.
It follows an erotic and darkly comic tale of murder and survival set around a group who search for the answer to what is the meaning of life. The better thing about this compared to those other two movies is the fact that Ron Howard's directing it. And he's obviously, I think, got a way better track record than the other. Who was it? It was that old New Zealand bastard that did Coward Jesse James.
Andrew Dominique.
And then I don't even remember who did Dark Water. That was a horrible movie. But yeah, so cast is cool. Concept is like, I got no fucking clue what this is at all.
Can you read the concept one more time for me?
The film follows an erotic and darkly comic tale of murder and survival set around a group who search for the answer to what is the meaning of life. So I guess
this doesn't feel like a Ron Howard movie. No. I gotta be honest. This feels completely out of his wheelhouse.
Erotic, no. Darkly, not really. And comic, yeah, he goes in between with that. So
yeah, he can touch on it. Yeah, yeah, no. Ron Howard's like a dad movie director.
Yeah,
he's not a. You get him outside that wheelhouse, I think that's where things start to go a little awry.
I don't think anyone's gotten a boner to a Ron Howard movie in their life. Like, I can't think of a Ron Howard movie where I'm like, there's a sexy ass scene in that.
No. No, I really, you're right.
Let's go to...
When he was on Happy Days?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. And even then, who was the hot chick on Happy Days? They didn't have one.
I don't know, I'm joking.
It was all the fellas.
Let's see, as a director...
Me watching Arrested Development when I was like 10, and I was like, oh, maybe he's really hot. I kind of get George Michael's little slant here.
13 Lives, if you got horny to that, you belong in a fucking home or jail. Hillbilly Elegy, no. Definitely not a horny. Star Wars, Solo, Star Wars movie, no. Inferno, no.
Yeah, Solo was remarkably dripping in no sex for a character that is a sex icon.
Rush, no. Angels and Demons, no. Frost Nixon, if you got
Rush,
a boner.
No, Rush had some hot stuff. Olivia Wilde was... She was Olivia Wilde in it.
All right,
she was hot in that movie.
I would say, like, Hemsworth was the hottest in that, I guess. Heart of the Sea, no. Cinderella Man, no.
So what I'm getting at here is...
He's not a horny director.
This doesn't feel like a Ron Howard movie, which worries me. Because I think at this point in his career, he kind of just... He is what he is.
Yeah, I still like him, though. I don't know. I'm a Ron Howard guy. And maybe that's just because we interviewed him and he was so cool. Very open about it.
Oh, I like him. About, so. I love him.
Yeah.
Alicia Vikander, where's she been?
That's a good question.
She did Irma Veep. But
I never watched it. I'll be frank. Didn't watch it. Wasn't for me. Okay. And after that, we have Succession. Succession aired their third to last movie.
Third
to last show episode. What would you say the what's the one before the penultimate? Is there a term for that? I don't know.
There has got to be a word, but I'm not.
Penultimate.
In the hole episode, because that's what they in baseball. If you're not on deck, you're in the hole.
In the hole, yeah. So Succession, they had a big episode. It was the election night. ATN trying to figure out like basically everything because they still have all their shit going on with Gojo and the election between was Mencken and Jimenez, right? So. It was, I think when I watched this episode, I was like, this is one of the better ones I thought of this season. I'll clarify, the interactions between the family during this episode were absolutely awesome, I thought. I think that all of them running around sort of trying to play their own angles and everything, and Kendall kind of like stuck in the right in the middle was very interesting. And all their back and forth, especially when Shiv gets found out. I loved that scene. I thought it was better episodes, but also better scenes of the entire show. And also just, I think the way that now the next two episodes are going to pan out because of what happened in this is going to become way more higher stakes than it was before, outside of just the world of the Roy family and ATN, which is kind of interesting. But what did you guys think?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a time jump after this episode, mm-hmm. right?
I think so.
A few months. So that'll be dealing with, obviously, the fallout in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. All of our Wisconsin listeners have to have love this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I think this is one of the weaker ones, but I think I just have a bias against any kind of political drama. Like, I just, when you start to really pivot into the politics of stuff, I just kind of tune out. I can't do it, especially when you start to align it too closely to like real world shit. I'm like, I don't really need your take on this. Like, I just don't. I really don't. But like you said, the interactions between the family were fantastic. They were great. Tom just reverting back to his old self and being like, I need you to Greg for me. Greg being like, I don't want a Greg. Buying the sushi scene was hilarious. Sushi scene was so that good. I cackled. I was on the treadmill watching. I started cackling when he had the wasabi in his eyes.
Yeah.
Shout out that actor. He's one of the all-time that guys. Like, Oh, it's that guy.
And he's the strangest looking human being I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's an all-time creep actor.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he just kind of shows up and you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Uh-huh.
When he suits.
They just showed him in the corner and I was just like, that's the guy from The Great. And like everyone has their own version of
Great.
It.
Great, yeah. Which, by the way, is back on air right
yes.
now. I want to dive back into that. Great show. Yeah. But yeah, no, this, like I said, one of the weaker for me, but I think I just have a bias against the politics. Shiv is very clearly going to go on the full offensive. I think that's what the last two episodes are setting up for, right? It's just going to be Shiv trying to undo everything that they just did. I don't know. She's off the track, right? Like she should just be, you gotta pivot at this point. You gotta pivot and change your plans.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Chris?
I like, the whole behind the scenes of a newsroom on election night, angle for this. You know, I've never watched the newsroom, but I feel like I'd probably enjoy that element of it. I thought it was a fine episode. It did make me laugh. There were some pretty funny moments, cousin Greg being a fuck up. But I guess the one complaint I have is with these episodes being as long as they are, it really exposes just how completely cunty every character is in this show. Now, that isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Like, I do enjoy that. But when you have such a long episode and there's nobody to like, it was almost like a game of one-upsmanship where every person was trying to see how much of a douchebag they could be compared to their siblings, which does make the show intriguing. So yeah, no, it's a good episode. I didn't know about the time jump, but that does make sense with the way things ended last night and kind of what they were implying was going to happen going forward. So yeah, I mean, another solid episode for a solid show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
solid show. You're lucky Jeff T. Lowe's not on this podcast right crucified. Now. He would admonish you. He would admonish
no, no
you.
No shit.
He would. Yeah.
I think there was a lot of stuff that was really good about this episode, though, because especially not even just the family interaction, but I think that they showed like the as far as the political end of it, when you have the three sort of different stages of the political spectrum with like Shiv, then Kendall, then Roman, I think you have like Shiv acting like this guy getting elected is the end of the entire universe. And then you have Moderate Roy just being like, I don't really care as long as we're making money.
Yeah.
It makes sense from a money standpoint. I don't care. And then Roman just being like the you know, dickhead antagonizer on the other side. Just, but it was very funny though. Him going with Shiv back and forth, just being like, false flag, false flag.
That
false
was
flag.
Very funny.
Just back and forth. And then also just kind of getting into like the Nepo baby sort of end of it where it's like, hey, I'm going to make a historically insane call for a news network because my sister did something mean to me.
Yeah,
that part of it is also just like that. It adds to what we love about, I think, these characters. And you're right. Like, and all of them are extremely hateable for different reasons, but very, very hateable. It reminds me a lot of almost like not in the same exact way, but with Veep. Like with Veep, you're watching that show. They're all bad. Every character in Veep is a bad person. But you're also at the same time, like that's part of the enjoyment of it, at least to me.
Yeah, no, this episode sorely missed Logan. Like they needed someone to come in and put their foot down because they all three of them were at different points saying this is what dad would have wanted, this is what dad would have done, and all three of them are just kind of twisting their own memories mm-hmm. of him to further their agenda. And it's like, well, I don't know what Logan would have done here. He probably would have sided with Mencken. Like mm-hmm. that's probably what he would have done. I don't know. I miss the big guy, as they like to say.
The another scene I liked is when Shiv like corners Tom and tells him that she's pregnant. And he's like, well, what is this, like a tactic of some kind? Like, and she just like, dad.
She acted like that was a crazy question.
It was a very reasonable question.
That's a very reasonable question after the shit they've been through. Like, mm-hmm. after everything they've done to each other, like,
that'd be like the least crazy
thing. Yeah, faking pregnancy, like saying you're pregnant, that is very low on the totem pole of like wild shit they've said to each other. They played Bitey at a party two mm-hmm. episodes ago.
She did. She did like, oh, she ran down the excuse list too. She's like, my dad just died. My dad just died. Can I have some sympathy
I
here?
I love him gone. Well, did you love him?
Yeah, exactly. You hated him more than you loved him. He's sitting with like 10 phones. She's like, yeah, sure. Like,
oh, yeah.
Adam Schefter's wife trying to talk to him during the offseason, basically. But I did like a lot of those elements. And again, just the family back and forth during this moment and all of them trying to play their own angles. Like Tom trying, like even beyond what those three, the main three siblings are going through. Also Connor Roy trying to steal some limelight. Like just like a little bit. Yeah. The Conheads, we're coming. I love that part. And even like Tom and Greg both basically in the same boat where they're just trying to like secure some sort of future that they don't necessarily have. And when Shiv cornered Greg, in the room is like, "You want to fuck me, Greg, or whatever?"
Dude, I think Greg wants to fuck her.
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe.
Dude, that was a weird little pause he had.
Yeah,
the way he answered makes me think.
Very funny.
The way he answered, it was the second reference to Kentucky this episode. The first being the election, the second being, I think Greg wants to fuck his cousin.
What exactly did he say? He said something very funny.
He's like, I don't think this is an appropriate conversation. Just say no, Greg.
Yeah.
Just say no. It's your cousin.
Oh, Chris, you're muted.
Yeah, no, I know. My bad. Sorry. How old do you think the actress who plays Shiv is? 42,
43, yeah, probably.
See, I thought she was like
younger,
pushing 50. She's 35.
Yeah, I was going to say 35 would have been my guess, actually.
You made a member of the Roy family to put some, you get some city miles on you.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the number does not matter because let me tell you, she just looks good every single
time. But episode. She does. No, that's not a knock. I was just very surprised.
You want to find what the line was because it was.
She goes, "Do you find me attractive?" And I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And I kind of, I realized almost immediately what the setup was going to be like, "Do you want to fuck me?"
Yeah.
But yeah, the way he like just kind of paused. What the fuck, Greg? What the fuck?
How are you on fine? What was it? It was something because he had like one of those like regular like remember when he was like doing the getting grilled at Congress or whatever? He was like that. There it be.
I mean, yeah, that's maybe the best part of the whole show is Greg getting grilled in front of Congress. All right, here it is.
Oh, because she grilled him about going to get a drink with Mattson because that's when he found out about the entire points thing, the fact that she was in bed with him. Do you find me attractive, Gregory? That was it. It wasn't, do you want to fuck
he
me?
He just pauses.
Yeah.
For 5 seconds?
I don't think of things such as that. That's such a great... I love... Dude, he's so fucking funny.
Correct. God damn it. God damn it.
Yeah. There's this... also, that girl trying to, like, talk Greg out of it. And him just being like, it's fucking gonna happen. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to do?
He is the guy with the nuclear... With his finger over the nuclear codes. Or the launch pad.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what you want me to do, man. But yeah, I think that was a really good episode. I only watched I watched the preview thing for the next episode. I saw it was like they had a little bit of the funeral, I guess, for Logan because we haven't gotten that yet.
Right? Oh, that's true. Yeah. I didn't watch the thing.
Got the funeral for Logan and a couple back and forth scenes with some other people, but like nothing that I think like stood out where I'm like, I need to see this exact point. But like, I'm very excited because you got 2 episodes left. Like, what do? You had the big moment, which was the election night, which they've been basically like. Kind of building up for this last season, bits of last season too, or this whole season and bits of last season too. So I don't know. I'm pumped for it. This is fucking good TV. You know what I mean?
I am ready to say this has been the best season they've put out yet.
This is really good. I like it significantly more than the last season.
I like it more than the last two, and I think it's better than season one. It really is. All the actors, all the writing is just it's clicking on all cylinders right now. I am interested to see how they land the plane. I think they'll do something. I think they might end on an optimistic note because that would be the last thing anybody would expect. I don't know how they bring that about, but ending on like an optimistic note would be so against what the show has done for 50 episodes now.
Yeah. I don't know what else you do too. It's like, what do you have the whole Roy family go down in a plane crash?
Right. Like, well, that's the thing is how would you define optimistic note? Cause I feel like this show does a weird job. It gives a good job of kind of walking that line. I don't know what that would be.
I could see them all winning is what I'm saying. I think the obvious thing would to have them all lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where the show has been steering for a long time is to have them all blow up in all their faces and them all end up behind bars or dead in a ditch somewhere. But I think the difference would be like Kendall ends up fucking CEO. Shiv ends up running the other PG
campaign or whatever
PGN or whatever the Pierce she ends up running Pierce and Roman's like running Gojo or some shit or in the West Wing like that would be like the most like anti like what we expect thing.
I'm excited for the episode and obviously we'll have Jeff will give his thoughts because he's going to be on the episode of the Long Take later.
Let's be clear, he's not out for you know the Genius Bar, the visit to the Apple Store or the dozen. He actually he's got a big load in his pants.
Yeah,
it's not poop. Big old pile of cum. He's just sitting in it.
Yeah. He's literally glued to his seat. Like, he can't get up. It's he sat down in his chair. The cum stuck him to the chair. He couldn't get up.
Once Minkin delivered that final speech,
Jeff
deposited the biggest load you've ever seen, passed out. The cum is dried to his legs. He's cemented into his seat.
The fire department's at his house trying to get him free of the jaws of life.
Oh man, he loves Succession, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves it.
That show.
I just love that, in that image of him just like literally plastered to his seat. He can't get up.
It's like one of that. It's like the Titans in Attack on Titan. You know, when they farted.
I was thinking Randy Marsh in the episode of South Park when they went out internet porn.
He's just like fucking glued. He just can't get up. He's
in a chrysalis of cum.
He busted like 3 gallons of 3 gallons of cum, and just like he passed out because of the exertion, and then he just stopped. Just it's like skin is becoming part of the leather, like that dude in Seven.
Jesus Christ,
the fat guy from Seven. Anyway, we do have a review of a bad movie to get to. So before we do that, let's hear from Rocket Money. Look, we all know that catchy saying, try it free for 14 days, just enough time to try it and completely forget about it. But Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about, and chances are you're one of them. Like the television app that you got just to watch one show, looking at you, Disney Plus, and that free gaming trial that you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you, and so that you don't want to have to pay for anything that you don't want to pay for anymore. Just hit cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you, which is a huge plus because a lot of these different sites make you jump through hoops for it. It's that easy. Rocket Money will also help you manage all of your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time. Also get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, and the average person saves up to $720 per year. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your subscriptions the easiest way by going to rocketmoney.com/lights. That's rocketmoney.com/lights. rocketmoney.com/lights. Super helpful. I just actually consolidated my Spotify account. My girlfriend saved a ton of money.
Really?
Yeah. I Prime accounts too.
Up until about, I want to say, it was well into living here, I still had my Hulu Spotify deal from college somehow. And it was like $5 a month.
The .edu, man.
Yeah, it was the .edu. And I had the Hulu Spotify package, which has not been a thing for almost a decade.
Yeah.
But it still worked. I'm trying to think of the dumbest thing I've subscribed to. Marvel Unlimited. Just
Barstool Gold.
It would be like Barstool Gold for me, like probably... there was something I remember recently I subscribed for. AI Trump thing. I think I paid money, good money for that. I've hard American dollars for that just for like 1 week and then I forgot about it. And then they kept charging me. Also, I had to charge for like Microsoft or I guess it was like Xbox Live. I haven't used an Xbox in 3 years.
This weird charge from Bang Bros.
Yeah. No, they use different accounts or something like that. They like, yeah, that's like part of the advertising strategy. They're like, hey, we won't charge this to your account under Bang Bros so your wife won't see it. We charged under like, you know, Racing Unlimited or some shit. Like they'll give you like some weird other charge. But anyway, Hypnotic. Let's talk about fucking Hypnotic. This is one I almost regret that we picked this movie, but I don't. I
almost don't. The further away I've gotten from it, my score has come down even just from where I'd left the theater.
Yeah.
But I've grown an appreciation for it. I think it might be one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen.
So Hypnotic, a detective investigates a mystery involving his missing daughter in a secret government program. Robert Rodriguez directing it. Ben Affleck, Alice Braga, J.D. Pardo, a few other people. I think William Fichtner probably being the Jackie Earl Haley, I guess, maybe being the next biggest one.
Know.
Yeah, it's fucking whatever.
The fact that Ben Affleck was in this movie is...
It's shocking. And it is insane. Like, I feel I didn't see an ad for this. I didn't see a trailer. I think I heard one, like, not radio ad, but like a read for it. Like, yeah, Hypnotic coming out soon. Ben Affleck.
Wide release.
Crazy. Hypnotic. It is. And I think this is going to be like probably the takeaway for most of us. It's like a really. Oh, did we lose Chris? Oh, no. I think he's.
Chris, are you there? They got him.
Yeah, no, I was taking a shit. I didn't want you guys to see.
Okay. Hypnotic.
The Hypnotic's okay, got him.
So this movie, like I was saying, I think a lot of people probably have the same comp. It's like a very, someone trying to, like an AI trying to write a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yes.
Right? It's like very, very like kind of trying to get in that same space of like mind bending twists of all and all that stuff. But it does a very, very poor job of it. And I think it's one, acting is like one of those things where in this movie, it's like not even present. It's just like, it's all about like trying to make this a coherent story. And it's really not. It's just like,
it's not
dumping information into your brain instead of letting you figure it out. And all of this, like the twists and turns, especially the whole, the twist, the third act twist is so fucking dumb.
So bad. This movie was so bad.
It's just, it's atrocious. It's one of those ones where you watch it and like, you could see how this story read well on paper, right? Like you could see like, hey, like this kind of information is cool because like you using hypnosis to like fuck with people's brains and like get people to do things against their will, people not having controls of their body, like not knowing what's real and what's fake and all that stuff. That usually plays in movie setting. Like that's especially the later part of it, like not knowing what parts you're watching are real and what's fake. That should play. It doesn't hear at all. But
they don't do like any of like the hypnotic tricks. There's no like ticks. There's like what they reveal. You don't even like, do.
Hey, yeah, he does these little things where he's
like, you're like, not even actually doing. Like he's not really doing it. Like it turns out they can just like they have brave wave. Like what was it? They like can get on the brain wavelengths of other people. Like gamma rays. So basically, they don't even have to do anything. They can just
beta wave.
This movie was the dumbest fucking movie I've seen in so long. Holy shit! This movie was stupid. Yeah. And Ben Affleck was not trying even a little bit.
Nope. Yeah, I think he realized very early on. He's like, oh, this is a stinker.
Huh? This is stupid.
But why does he do that, though? Because you're right. Like, he is a legit. I think Ben Affleck is a remarkably talented guy. I think he's a very good director. I think he's a good actor. But he has to be set for life. Why does he keep choosing these shitty projects? Like, he doesn't have to.
This is a favor. This is a favor. This was 100% a favor for someone. I don't
is
know.
It directed or written by somebody that
Robert Rodriguez? I think Rodriguez got the script from somebody, and I think he tinkered with it too. From what I was reading, anyway.
Oh, like this was my immediate comp, and what it felt like watching was like if you ever like accidentally had on TNT during the day, and then you end up watching like one of their original shows that you've never heard of. That's what it felt like. Mm. This was like watching one of their original shows that makes no sense, but you're speed running it too. You're like watching like a full season in a matter of 90 minutes. So nothing makes sense.
Which makes it rougher because like they end up just telling you everything like over and over and over again. Like here's information one. Here's information two. Here's information three. Because they don't have time to flesh out the actual.
Everything looks so cheap. When they fucking revealed and they had all those red jackets from Macy's. Are you fucking kidding me? They looked like goddamn Macy's Christmas workers.
They did not have enough money for this at all.
Oh my god. The special effects of like Domino. She just looks and it just gets wavier around her.
Dude, a lot of these other ones that like and like you were saying, Chris, like his recent shit, like Air, like take Air out of the equation. Clerks 3, front. Yeah, it's a favorite one. Like, you know, he's part of this whole crew. Like, of course.
What fucking blackmail does Kevin Smith have on Ben Affleck?
He just like helped him early on, I guess, or with like the first few.
It's a long time ago.
Nah, I think they're just buddies.
They're probably that's also a huge part. Deep Water, so bad.
So fucking bad.
Vic Van Allen. That was his character's name. Wow.
That was the character's name in this fucking movie?
No. His was Rourke, something Rourke.
Oh yeah, it was Rourke.
Yeah. Vic Van Allen is his character in Deep Water. Or Deep Water, yeah.
When he sleeps with that girl, and he's like, oh, it's my wife.
Yeah. Actually, Cruz is my wife, Victoria. What was it?
Oh, my God. So stupid.
Tender Bar. Tender Bar wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. Last Duel. I think he was good in Last Duel. But
The Way Back. He was really good in The Way Back.
Yeah, Way Back, really good. Justice League, whatever. Last Thing He Wanted, bad. That movie I forgot existed. I remember me and Jeff, like, we thought about reviewing it because that's a cool cast. I think Rosamund Pike, a few other people. Nope, real bad. Triple Frontier. That should have been so good, Triple Frontier. I'm still pissed about that.
I can't do the Triple Frontier again today. That's just one of the most boring movies.
That should have been.
I would watch this so movie. Good. I would watch Hypnotic again over Triple Frontier.
Think about how good that cast was, dude. Pedro Pascal, Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, like Garrett Hedlund's like the worst person in this movie. Like, and that's not like Charlie Hunnam in this. I forgot. Jeez. And I just remember that Ben Affleck gets popped in the head right at the end of it. But anyway, Hypnotic, a movie I'm landing at like a 32 for this. And I think, like Gooch, it'll age worse for me over time, because the more I think about it, the more I have a distaste for how they decided to unravel everything. Or not even really.
They didn't even.
Kind of dumped it. It's like.
They kind of just plopped it in front of you like a plate of spaghetti. And they're like, here it is.
Yeah. And it just felt like you're saying, like, this is definitely going to be, I would imagine, like the widest consensus, just to rip off Nolan. Just like a very poor imitation of like an Inception or whatever else. I'm trying to think of what would even be more apt than Inception.
Memento,
yeah, for sure. But there's a lot, like, dude, they even had the Polaroid of the chick in the fucking bank in the store box or whatever.
Oh my god.
Of the daughter. So shit, man.
Stupid. This movie was so stupid.
It's all that plus.
I'm a hypnotic. Oh, I am the hypnotic. I'm the chosen one. How did I do that? How did I do that?
I'm the hypnotic. Me and Will Fincher.
Am I a domino?
God damn it, dude.
Oh my god. So and the fucking orange. Dude. Was there anybody? Were you the only person in your theaters? For a second, yeah. I was, and then like people straggled in through the previews. And my theater was laughing. Like, yeah. There was two other people in there, and we laughed at like very non-laughing parts. Like when his partner starts ripping his like arm off, and we're just like, dude, he's gone. Like, just shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
And he like just won't do it. And the way she shoots him in the head was just very funny.
Everything that Jill was so fucking.
Oh my gosh, the effects were just god. I can't get over how bad the effects were.
See, like,
the acting was terrible. Like. And then, like, they try to make that a part, like, of the story. Like, oh, like, the dialogue was off because, like, you were in a trance. It's like, no, the dialogue being off was just
bad editing.
I think it was just terrible.
The, I think, again, this is, I think my biggest takeaway watching this is that it was a poor execution of something that could have been cool. Like, I think if you gave the same idea to Nolan or to someone else who's better with, like, more mind-bendy stuff, they'd do a better job with
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
Because, like, the idea, like, anytime you have a movie like that where it's like, hey, this could be real, it could be fake, fucking things still twisting, you never know, like there's a like that should be cool because you can really fuck with an audience mind with that concept, right? But like, it just, they didn't do that. They didn't really do that. It's like, you're in the construct, Rourke. Actually, no, now you're not in the construct, now you're, and like, they're just dumping this bullshit in your face. And it's like, the idea again could be cool, and like, even the idea of someone being able to use hypnosis. I was actually watching this weekend Incredibles 2. Like, hypnosis could be cool. You use hypnosis to.
But you gotta, like, actually use people. Hypnosis. You can't just be like, oh, these are super powered people who just. They're not actually using hypnosis. They're just. They got these brain waves that take over other people's minds.
He's gonna tap his arm.
And this one's really strong.
Tap a pen here.
Parents are both brainwave people. Oh my god.
So stupid.
Fuck this movie. And the balls. The balls on Robert Rodriguez to set up a sequel.
Yeah. No, wait. So when I was reading the wiki of it, I was going to the production notes, and I see in the last stanza of the wiki, it goes like, there's a mid-credit scene. I was like, what?
Dude.
There's a mid-credit scene for this?
I put my hands on my head. I was
shocked. I didn't stick around for that.
I was only doing that because I lost my credit card. I was literally fumbling around the seat with the flashlight on, looking, and then I just hear fucking sound and the light come back on, and I was like, well, no way. Yeah, look back, and it's, what's his face? The bank teller from Dark Knight. I can't remember.
William Finchner.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, no, he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's coming. He's coming.
You know, you're actually on fire. And the audience actually thinks they're on fire. That's how good the hypnosis and hypnotic was. So stupid. But yeah, I'm landing on a 30, like 32.
This has come down. Out of the theater, I was at about 30. I gave it 1.5 stars. I'm bringing it down. We're going to go 15.
15.
I really think this will have a case for worst of the year. This will, in terms of what I watch, you guys watch the shit that doesn't even hit the theaters. I think this will be the worst wide release of the year. Mm. Like, in terms of wide release, this is shocking that it even was playing near Chris. Like, I can't believe it even. I can't believe they put this in more than two theaters.
Chris, yeah. What do you think? So I had not heard of this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no knowledge of it when I believe it was Jeff in our group chat was like, with the fucking Ben Affleck movie's coming out this week. I'm like, what fucking? I feel like I would hear about a Ben
Affleck movie. Already watched Air. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure more people watched Air this weekend than watched this movie. I'm almost
certain. Absolutely.
Yeah. But so I just Googled Hypnotic because I never heard of it. And the first thing that came up was, it was on Netflix, so I went to watch it, and I got about 20 minutes in and realized Ben Affleck ain't fucking showing up.
It's different, so old movie.
So I didn't see this movie.
So you saw Hypnotic, the 20 whatever movie.
2021 that I'd never heard of. And
I was wondering why you were so quiet.
And it was 8 o'clock on a Saturday. And I'm like, fuck, now I got to go to the theater. And the last showing was 7:30. So I felt like a horse's ass, and I still do. But I didn't see one single TV ad for this or trailer. So I assumed for sure this has to be streaming, something they dumped on streaming. Mm. And I looked it up in Lansing. There was about 3 show times at the theater that the Ratchet Theater that's about 5 minutes away from me. All of them had passed. So, I'll be honest, I'm probably never going to see this.
No, Chris, as you're the number one Nolan guy, you're a huge Nolan guy. You got to see this. I think you have to see this.
Is it that derivative, like a little kid doing?
It is. It is a little kid doing it.
Look, so I apologize to the audience because this is the second week in a row. But I'm not surprised Robert Rodriguez directed this because I've always felt like as a director, that's all he does is just rip off other people. Like his action just is a rip off of John Woo. He tried a million times to be Tarantino. He's not. And then he tried to be Spielberg for a minute with those whimsical, shitty kids movies that he did. And then, or maybe not, Spielberg might not be the right one. But then, he's trying to be Nolan. But
I think his best work was in Spy Kids. I legitimately Spy Kids, do.
Yeah. I agree. I like the first Spy Kids quite a bit. Yes.
Like there's some heart there. They work well as family movies. But yeah, no, outside of that, even his Mandalorian episode, which I think is kind of divisive, I err on the side of it looks cheap.
I liked it because it was very different than what the action we'd seen in Mando at that point. Like him just beating the fuck out of the stormtroopers.
Yeah, the fight scene was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I like him. He clearly puts a ton of effort into his movies, and I think he has a lot of unique ideas, but he just, you know, for every Spy Kids, there's a Spy Kids 4 stuck in. What was the name of that? Stuck Out of Time? The Scratch and Sniff one? Didn't he direct that?
He did a lot of weird ones. But this movie cost $65 million to make.
Cost $65 million to make.
And it's made $2.3 million.
You know what? I am going to see this shit now.
How did this, even the reveal is on the back lot of the reveal is literally just a back lot of a studio.
I'm just looking at the movie details. Domestic release was done wide by Ketchup Entertainment. Ketchup Entertainment, that can't be real. Ketchup, what other movies has Ketchup done?
Are we sure that
the Starving Games? No fucking way. They did the Starving Games. Savannah.
They're in bed with Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. Is that what you're saying?
Dude, I gotta see. Dude,
those guys are in a ditch somewhere. They have. What happened to them?
Yo, they haven't done a movie since 2015.
Dude, look them up on YouTube just to see if there's videos about them. And basically the person who was doing the video admitted like they have zero presence anywhere. Presence on social media.
I legitimately think they're dead. I think they spoofed too many people and just they spoofed the wrong person.
You see, my theory is that they were pseudonyms for directors who didn't want their names attached to those movies.
Oh, wow, that's a good theory.
I don't think they ever existed. I think that they were two guys that they put on set. The red shirt guys in Star Trek, there's somebody who's directing this who doesn't want to be attached. Now, I one thing I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I think it is. Apparently, in the 90s, those two wrote a really, really good script for a Liberace biopic, and it just never got picked up.
That's actually kind of funny.
Which is so bizarre. Because I genuinely wonder if there were two Academy Award winning screenwriters, like if these guys were Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and they just decided to do shitty parody movies for their entire career. Yeah. Dude, no, you're right. We should do it. A Barstool Investigates. We should get John Rich on that to try to find Jason Friedberg and Eric. I'm going to tweet him right now.
I know people, the general public hates when Hollywood makes movies about Hollywood, but a movie about Hollywood that I would pay top dollar to see. Is what the like do like a spoof of that, like those two,
a spoof of people making spoof movies?
Yeah, like it's the Disaster Artist. It's them making spoof movies and then some like their disappearance, like they like show what actually happened, like maybe they spoofed the wrong person. I would love to see that.
It's just so funny. I'm looking at like the weekend chart. It's Guardians of the Galaxy, Disney, Super Mario Brothers, Universal.
Just cracked the top 10.
Book Club, The Next Chapter, number 3, Focus Features.
There was a lot of old women at my theater.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, Lionsgate, and then Hypnotic, Ketchup Entertainment.
Ketchup Entertainment.
There's 6 at the office. They made barely more money than John Wick did. John Wick Chapter 4, which came out like, 2 months ago? Like
this movie,
not that long. But,
this movie costing $60 million, it doesn't make sense. That's money laundering. Dude. I know we throw that joke around sometimes. This this movie looked so bad.
It's in 2,100 theaters. How's that possible?
Well, I think Robert Rodriguez is a director that, like, by all accounts, he's very well liked among his peers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was money laundering as much as it's the Adam Sandler syndrome where you inflate the budget and you give all the money to your friend, which is, I could argue that's money laundering, but that's, where he, like, Jack and Jill had a $70 million budget and it looks like a fucking student film just because it was Adam Sandler paying all his friends. I bet you say it was a favor. I bet Ben Affleck got paid a ton to be in.
What did they spend $65 million on other? Because, like, the max you could have paid him is like.
The sets are literally just – it's the sets at the very end when they're like the – like, Chris, there's these constructs. And basically they build your, like, hypnotic reality around these constructs. But they're basically just – it's the backlot of a studio is what they showed you.
Do you know what this movie is kind of sounding like? And I think I am the first person ever to mention this movie in a sentence since it came out. Remember that stupid movie with Hugh Jackman, Reminiscence?
Reminiscence, yeah. No, that's a good call.
I did think about that movie early on, and I was like, this is a way worse ripoff of Nolan than
Reminiscence.
Right, and that was a Nolan ripoff.
That was a big-time Nolan ripoff.
I mean, all the way, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy. Yeah.
Right, that's right. Wasn't it? It was directed by, what, Christopher Nolan's brother's wife, was that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But she's done good stuff. She did season one of Westworld, which was very good.
Yeah, no, I'm not claiming a nepotism. I just know that movie played like such a Nolan.
Oh yeah. Yeah, big time.
That was a bizarre one.
My comp for it when we first got in the studio, I was like, this is a Flatliners.
Yeah, that's right.
Like where it's like this is one of the dumbest concepts I've ever seen. Put the screen like it is just stupid. This movie is. So stupid.
Again, I disagree because I think the concept could have been good if it was a better director.
Flatliners, like, has a more interesting concept in my mind.
Flatliners, I think, was always dumb. Like,
what was the comedy where he's like, "Yeah, I've been F-line all weekend."
It was Popstar.
Popstar. Yeah. He's like, "I've been F-line
all weekend." Fucking Bill Hader. Bill Hader flatlining himself. But like, again, I think this could have been cool because anytime you have like these folding layers of reality. You can fuck with your audience, and it can be good. We've seen proof positive of that. I don't think this was the crew to do that.
Oh my god! And William Fichtner is above this.
Yeah,
he's above.
Is this pronounced Fichtner? I've always said Fincher.
Fincher.
I thought it was Fichtner.
Fichtner.
Fichtner. Okay, Fichtner.
William Fichtner.
Corrected.
Even the man whose name we can't pronounce.
Fichtner. Fichtner. That's a weird name.
He's above this movie. This is.
I like him though. He's an ultimate like that guy. That character.
Yeah, he's up there. Totally that guy. Yeah.
You'd be like watching a movie, you'd be watching Black Hawk Down, and he's playing like a fucking ranger or something.
Remember when he was supposed to be? Wasn't he supposed to be Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? And didn't they make him like a different character because people got mad.
That would make sense.
Yeah, because he was in that. I remember.
He also has like the same shotgun that the bank manager in Dark Knight uses, like that same sawed off tiny shotgun in this movie. Fucking blasting him with it. But yeah, that's hypnotic. You know who needs more work? Eric Bana. I've always liked Eric Bana. Yeah. Don't know why he isn't more in more stuff. I know I've said this before, but if you ever have the chance, make sure he had a variety show in Australia in like the early 2000s. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Inadvertently. He does this Arnold Schwarzenegger impression that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wait, what's the name of this?
I don't know. If you just talk about like Eric Bana's sketch show, I'm sure it'll show up. But like it was... It was one of the worst Arnold impressions I've ever seen. And, like, everyone can do some variation of it. And, like, he's a professional actor, and his was so bad. And they have him, like, full chin makeup and all this shit, too. But anyway, that's
what the fuck is this?
And that's hypnotic. Now we can do a little bit of a Justice League draft, like we were talking about before. So, obviously, this is coming off the heels of our Davey Korn. Getting the nod for Superman, or not the nod, I guess, but like he's presumptuously, I guess, in the lead. But we want to see what else we could do for the Justice League. Maybe James Gunn, who did, he gave me a very direct shout out on Instagram.
Yeah, that was cool.
And everyone saw that. He was like, "That's Ken Jack. I know him. He's my best friend. Let me repost this for him."
Dude, I DM'd him. I DM'd him from LCB. And I was like, "Come on the pod."
Yeah.
No response.
Yeah. No. Same thing when I tweeted him, and I was like,
"He hasn't even seen it though." So.
Oh, when he sees it, he'll.
When come. He sees it, I think he'll respond.
But maybe we'll help out James Gunn a little bit by helping him with some castings here. So we're gonna do most. We're gonna do like mains. So we're gonna do Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern. You can pick them, let's say, in anywhere you want. You can overlap if you want. Any of those things, just whoever you want for the role. Mm-hmm. Let's start. I didn't even pull it up on sheets yet. Let's start with you, Chris. You have yours ready?
Yeah, I do. Yes. Yeah, right, came prepared for this one.
Let's go you first overall.
Man, I don't think the ones I have are like going to get stolen by anybody else. So it doesn't really matter.
We can have overlap. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, where I start. One actor that I really like, I mean, the guy's built like a superhero. And I've seen him and stuff and really enjoyed him. Now, he was technically part of the previous DCEU for like half a second. Mm-hmm. But if they were to do a John Stewart Green Lantern, Aldous Hodge role, I think would be fantastic. That guy was great. He was great. He stood out in The Invisible Man. He was in, what was it, One Night in Miami? That movie was excellent. It was one of the best movies of that year where he played Jim Brown. I don't think they're going to do Hal Jordan, though. They're doing the TV series. I'm not sure what they're doing, but full on Green Lantern, bring in Jon Stewart. I think that'd be really a lot of fun. Green Lantern's one of those characters that if you get it right, I think could be so cool. Like even the 2011 movie, as bad as it is, and I rewatched it somewhat recently, and it's fucking dog shit. The space stuff, like the lore, I thought was actually pretty cool. Now the villain being a giant pile of diarrhea was stupid, and the script was like from 1985. But there's something there. Green Lantern is a really cool character. And I think Aldous Hodge would be great as Jon Stewart.
Yeah, still not really brought to life on the big screen well at all.
No.
Like, animated versions are cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you're going to do it in live action, you need an astronomical budget. Because it's more or less, you got to do like the Avatar route where it's live action, but it's also kind of just animated. Like,
yeah, that's a really good way to put it. It's a tough thing. Yes, it's a tough thing to pull off. And when you go back and watch the 2011 movie, you realize how unconfident they were in that project because as neat, like conceptually as the stuff in space looks, the effects in that movie are fucking terrible. Like,
you mean like the Green Lantern Gatling gun? Minigun. I don't even know what it was. It was so stupid.
His mask. He had a CGI mask. So stupid. The one thing that they could have not CGI'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough character to pull off, but if you do it, it could be, it could be epic.
I like Aldous Hodge too. We interviewed him, I think, twice. Both times, very funny. The second time, he was for Invisible Man, and he was doing that whole thing where he was hiding under the table, and he was like showing us how the effects worked in Invisible Man, like showing how shit floated. Very funny. Okay, Aldous Hodge for Green Lantern. Gooch, what do you want?
He's also a horologist. He's a horologist.
What is that?
It's a watch. Fan of watches. Not to be confused with me.
I was thinking, oh, that's horticulturist. Horologist, really? That's what they call it?
Horologist.
What is that? Give me. I need to look at the Latin root of that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't know what made me think of this.
The or for time. But
going back to Succession, real quick. How fucking funny was it when Conor Roy was giving his concession speech, and one of the guys just went, "He was running for president."
Yeah. Literally, it was Frank.
It was Frank. Like, yeah. I think it was like the one thing Frank said the whole episode.
Conheads, all you conheads. So Gooch.
Oh, I'm up.
Yeah.
Can we go in any order?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start with a big one then. I'll start with Batman.
Okay. Batman. Okay. I think I know who you're taking. Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles?
No. He is the voice, the current voice of Batman. But this guy looks just like him. Perfect Bruce Wayne. I think he's got the jaw for Batman. Great build. Stocky as hell. I'm going to go Henry Cavill. He needs a role right now. Henry Cavill would be
so fucking funny if they did
be
that.
A great Bruce Wayne. Really funny. Think about it though. If Henry Cavill hadn't already done Superman, he looks perfect for Bruce Wayne. He looks like that is exactly what Bruce Wayne looks like in the comics.
Fuck yeah.
He really looks like him.
You just be so much meaner though. You know what I mean? Think he like, can Batman's do it, a though. Meaner dude, then.
Dude, think about his demeanor in Fallout.
But even then, he was like half good. Ugh.
And I would argue, especially in Batman versus Superman, one of the reasons why that movie doesn't work is Superman acts way more like Batman than he should.
Literally.
Yeah, he's a fucking raging lunatic who's a fucking mopey and dopey all the time. Yeah, I know.
Oh, Batman's the world's greatest detective? Fucking Henry Cavill has played Sherlock Holmes in two movies.
That's true, and he was really good in both.
You're selling us. You're selling me on it.
I mean, come on. It would also be like the ultimate James Gunn just fucking with the audience. Like,
people would be so mad, dude.
I'm very curious what the actual reaction would be. I mean, I have no clue.
I mean, he really does look like, I mean.
No, he does.
If it wasn't for the previous casting, I do think he'd be towards the top of the list.
Yeah, I think you're right. No.
Fuck, that's a good pick.
can't deny it.
I'm also going to do Batman for my pick. I'm going to do, I want Jake Gyllenhaal Batman. I think Jake Gyllenhaal will be a very good Batman. I think he's got, he's obviously insanely handsome beyond measure. But also I think he has really good, we were talking about this in the last episode, but just he's so good at like a wide range of different acting, but he's really good at like anger. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a part of Batman that like, we get a lot of like silence, more mopiness in Batman, but I feel like in a new version of Batman, we can get a wide range of stuff. He's also good at comedy. I don't know what route at all that James Gunn wants to take with it. No. You could do anything you want with this Batman at, with Jake Gyllenhaal at the helm. And I think everyone would honestly love it. The only thing that maybe is wouldn't work is like, he don't let him do a voice. You can't have Jake G going like, where's the Joker or something like that. I mean, like it just won't work.
No, but I do like that pick. Jake Gyllenhaal is just, he's just so committed in everything he does. Yes. We even talk about, even in No Way Home, like a, just a cheap,
he's great in that.
He's given his 110% there. Like he's
insanely underrated. Like, I know he's a huge movie star, but I think he is like one of the best actors.
He doesn't get respected on that level, and he really should. After Jake G, I'll do Barry Keoghan for The Flash.
Oh, that's a great pick.
Yeah, I think he's an actor like, he has a lot of the same ability in I guess like quirkiness that Ezra Miller I think has, but he's also just a significantly better actor. And I think that he'd be able to get a very wide range of different things out of the character of The Flash. And
he gives me a little bit more Wally West vibes, I think. He's still a little young. But yeah, I mean, give me all the Barry Keoghan you can get right now.
Yeah.
Like he's yet to disappoint me in any role he's been in.
It'd be funny if he was playing the Joker and the Flash in the same sort of, but not really, universe.
Well, with the multiverse being a thing, you never know.
Yeah. But I like these two. I think
we need to fucking kill the multiverse.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about
it. Across all platforms, yes.
Great idea. Has not panned out totally yet. But yeah.
I would say the only one that's really done it right is the Sony animated version. So
yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And when we see, honestly, this their new one too, I think it'll make it look even better.
Which is just not to completely derail the conversation here. It killed Marvel and DC Comics too when they did it. Like it was a cool moment, Infinite Crisis in the 80s. But since then, they've kind of struggled with narratively wrapping things up and making it coherent for readers. Mm. Like. So I do worry about the box of worms that both these companies have opened up with the multiverse shit.
Like, hopefully it's more like just a, we're opening the door, but immediately shutting it.
Yeah, I think they need to shut the door on it.
But yeah, Barry Kay for me.
Oh, so I'm back up.
We're back up.
So I got my Batman. Do I want to go Supes? I'm going to wait on Supes because I do have a couple of names I can fit there. I'm going to go Wonder Woman since I only have one name there. I want Alexandria Daddario. Give me her.
She would have been a great Catwoman too.
Yeah, she'd be a good Catwoman. I don't
know.
With
those fucking eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those eyes. Those big, big, beautiful eyes.
Giant white eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would look also great as Wonder Woman in a Wonder Woman outfit.
I don't know.
The outfit would definitely make her eyes pop.
We'll see. When we get to my Wonder Woman, I think we have very different versions of the Wonder Womans we want.
Wonder Woman, yeah, you can go a lot of ways with her. She's supposed to be, is she Greek? Is she not Greek? They don't really, the comics fucking don't really make it very clear. She's Greek, but she's also like the all-American woman. So yeah, you can go a lot of ways there. I do wonder how much of a, that's like the one thing they didn't announce was what they're doing with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Are they bringing her back? They said they're doing that series, whatever, with like the sisters of Themyscira.
Yeah.
I got the impression that that little added on thing in Shazam Fury of the Gods was like her send off as the
character. That would be so funny if that was her send off.
Because it's not even her.
Like a bit part in fucking Shazam.
That's right. It's not even her.
It's not even her body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy it's one of those. Shit. It's a terrible, like, go back and rewatch it. It's a terrible CGI. Like, it's.
Oh, yeah.
That's why she doesn't move like the whole time. But yeah, no, Daddario. Daddario is Wonder Woman. Come on.
Daddario is Wonder Woman. Awesome. Chris, you get back to back.
See if I can find some art.
I'm going to go with The Flash here because it's an actor that I've always really liked. And I swear to God, he just missed his window for being cast in something huge. Dylan O'Brien.
Mm.
I like this guy
a lot.
Good pick. Thank you. I thought, because to me, I remember when they rebooted Spider-Man the first time. For the Andrew Garfield version. And Andrew Garfield's excellent as Spider-Man, but I remember seeing that movie, The Internship, with where Dylan O'Brien's in it. I'm like, this poor guy, like, just missed the fucking window to be Spider-Man. And I felt that way basically his whole career. I see him pop up and stuff, and he does. He looks like Andrew Garfield, too. I see him pop up and stuff. I always like him. He's always charming. I think, and we haven't seen The Flash yet. The one issue I have with Ezra Miller as that character is he's like void of the natural charisma that I feel like is required for a superhero role. Like, he's not awful, but I don't watch them and go, oh dude, that's a movie star. I get that with Dylan O'Brien. Like he was good in those Maze Runner movies. I see. It seems like he's been pretty eclectic in terms of like the roles he's chosen.
Really good in the outfit. Really good.
I think he'd be a great choice.
Mm-hmm. He also was like the top fan cast forever to play Dick Grayson. And I think he's kind of aged out of it at this point.
There was a time where he could have done it. Yeah.
He would have been a perfect Dick Grayson.
And then he's had some shitty luck. Didn't he almost die on set of fucking, didn't he
yeah,
die a
really?
car?
Maze Runner. He almost died on that set, which is insane. What a
badass dude. He'd be great as the Flash.
Yeah. I like that. You got one more too.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go Aquaman here. Because it's an actor that we've talked about before who I don't believe has played a superhero, which is crazy because the guy is fucking built like one. Our boy Alexander Skarsgård.
Dude, I thought you were about to say my pick. Holy fuck. I was going to
Rio, that would have been cool.
As Aquaman. I think, because again, going back to it, and this is, oh boy, we're going to have this discussion all over again next week about Jason Momoa. I don't think that guy has any charisma at all. Like, and I think that that's
Jason Momoa.
You don't think Momoa?
I think that dude is a brick.
That's all he has,
dude. Yeah, exactly.
That's the only thing he does have.
I think he can't act for shit, but I think he's got charisma. Maybe, like
you believe. You know what? I'll wear that. I think that's the better way to put it. I think that he does at least in those Justice League movies, he does have some likability. But every time I see him act, I'm just like, dude, I don't know. Like, Alexander Skarsgård, I think, is a great actor. We've seen him be likable, and I think Succession is a prime example of this, likable in roles where he shouldn't be likable at all. Like, his character in Succession is such a douchebag, but I'm like, dude, I like this guy, man. I like that he would be, little tangent here, I think I might have said this on the pod before, if they were to remake American Psycho, he would be perfect as Patrick Bateman, and I think he'd be very good as Aquaman too. I like this guy a lot as an actor. He seems like he commits to every role. That'd be a great choice.
I think it's a fantastic pick. But I also wonder, I don't know if he's ever going to do anything like this. I don't know if he'll ever do a franchise.
I wonder that too.
The vibes in the interviews, like, he just does not seem like the kind of guy that wants to do it at all.
Mm. He does like money, though.
It's just funny, though, because in The Northman, I felt like that was just one big audition tape for him to be in a superhero movie.
He's so jacked in that movie. Dude, Holy shit.
He's one of those rare guys who wouldn't even have to work out for the role. Mm. Like, I think he'd be really good.
I like that pick. Gooch.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to pick my Green Lantern now. And I'm going to go John Stewart as well. I'm going to go Yahya Abdul-Mateen III for the second. Fantastic. I mean, just a great actor. Just physically imposing, has the look, has the jaw. He played a superhero already.
Yep.
He was.
Well, supervillain, I guess.
In a way.
Black Mantis or whatever?
Oh, no. I was thinking Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. But no, he's in Aquaman, obviously.
I guess he's done a bunch of superhero work already. I didn't really love him as Mantis, to be honest, but I don't think that had much to do with him as how the character was.
Black Mantis, right?
Yeah, it is Mantis.
Or just Mantis?
It might be Black Mantis.
It's one of those hero things, if there's ever a black character, there's your name is Black This.
The character suit is black. Yaya is a black man.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, they just love doing that in the superhero world.
Yeah, they do.
I saw a clip yesterday of someone did a full-on Photoshop video of the White Panther Ryan Gosling during the Wakanda scene. It was so fucking funny.
Jake Malisick sent that to me. Very funny. Yeah. What he said. And like before he like his like suit comes up, instead of saying
Wakanda forever,
he goes, I drive.
Yeah.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Give it to me.
I like that too.
Maybe he can hang some more dong.
That's a strong one. I'll hang with you guys on that.
It needs to be when they do the I've said this a million times. When you do Green Lantern, you got to do John Stewart. He's the coolest.
Yeah. I think they made a mistake even back in the 2011 one of not doing, because I think most people, even though I believe Hal Jordan was the first, I think when most people think of the Green Lantern, I think John Stewart's the first one they think of. I don't think in the cultural lexicon, I think that the image is maybe because of the animated shows, the image is John Stewart is the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I'll do Aquaman.
Do not take my pick.
Tenacuerta?
No.
I'm going to take fucking Namor or whatever. I think he was so cool in all those underwater sequences in Black Panther 2. And I just think he was like a very, I don't know how to put it, but like a good subtle actor in all those scenes. And he was really good at the fight sequences. He's big, he's jacked, done the work already, has the experience. People might be like, it wouldn't work, right? Like, this wouldn't work because people would be like, you're just doing the same dude again. But like in this ideal bubble world, I kind of like the idea. I don't know.
I mean, dude, I have Henry Cavill cast as Batman.
Yeah. So. Good point. But I think he was good. He was very strong in that movie, one of the better parts of the movie. So I'd like to see him as just a different Aquaman 2.0, basically. Because isn't Namor or the Submariners before Aquaman, right? Like,
yeah, I think Namor before. Was before Aquaman. Yeah, I think that's right.
After that, I'll do Wonder Woman first, Lashana Lynch. Very different, obviously, because like you're going for more the look. I'm going for more the power. Like, I think like you talk about someone who is incredibly good at fight sequences. I don't think there's any woman in the game right now who's stronger than Lashana Lynch. Because like she obviously great in the last 007, No Time to Die or whatever. But in The Woman King, she was so fucking cool in that movie. Star.
She stole the show.
Dude, so good. And like not even just good at like the fight sequences, which were fucking cool as hell in that movie, but also like good at the dramatic moments too, and just like really good, like thick, well-rounded actress that could play that role way better, although again the low bar for what it's set so far, but like could play it way, way better than it's been portrayed so far. And I think she would be really, really good at giving us a different sort of like more energetic take of Aquaman or of Wonder Woman versus Kal-El. Yeah, and her fight sequences just being like CGI jump this way and hold a shield, like actually good fight sequences, but way better acting. Gooch, you're back up.
I'll take my Aquaman now, and you got your pseudo Aquaman. I'm getting a guy who has literally played Aquaman before.
Voice?
No, played him in live action. Played him in live action in Smallville. That's our good boy Alan Ritchson.
He's yoked right now.
Dude, he is fucking massive. He needs to be cast in some sort of superhero role. And I think go back to Aquaman. He's got the look now.
He's in the new Fast movie, right? Alan Ritchson, I think.
I mean, who isn't? Who isn't in that fucking movie? I'm dreading watching that.
You're going to see two Aquaman in one movie then, basically.
Imagine seeing 10 in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. But yeah, no, I want Alan Ritchson. I think he fits the bill.
Dude, honestly. That John Reacher show is good. Did you watch it?
Oh, the new one? The Reacher? Yeah.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Rips. I can't wait really for the second fun. Season.
Oh, that's who that is. Oh, yeah, he can do it. He's fucking built like a tank. Yeah.
He looks like the OG, like, blonde hair Aquaman. Throw him in the orange suit.
He looks exactly like the comic book version.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Can he act? Is he the strongest actor in the world? Probably not, but like, do you need to be for Aquaman?
Honestly, most superhero roles.
You're replacing Jason Momoa.
Yeah, let's be honest about this. Outside of like your villains, I think you need to cast strong actors for these roles. But your leads, outside of Batman, do you really need like a strong
actor? It depends on the role. I think Batman is the one that does require legitimate like acting skills.
Superman, you need some ethos to you, but you really don't need to be like the greatest actor in the world.
You need to have charm.
Yeah, I don't think most of these roles, I don't think you need world-class actors. I think you need charisma. Yeah.
For the James Gunn world, you just really need, like, I think, good darkness and good comedic chops. And he's super funny on Richard. I mean, Blue Mountain State was, like, at the time, like, a revelation with humor was. So he's got that, and I think he could play dark. Like, even in Reacher, there's points where he looks, like, legitimately scary. So
yeah,
I like that. That's a good pick. Looks just like him, basically. Chris, your last two.
Is it?
Sorry.
No, I got three left, right?
Because yeah,
I haven't done Wonder Woman. Okay. I mean, this is tough.
We're also really leaving out Martian Manhunter. No one.
Gives a shit about Martian Manhunter. Let's be frank.
It was so stupid in the Snyder Cut, too. okay. I got a few here. I'm going to go Wonder Woman, and I'm going to go with an actress that we've talked about on here quite a bit. And seeing her in her most recent project, she's in great shape. Like, even I think she's just naturally in great shape, like not even for her roles. But I've seen her be the heroine in a main franchise. I'm going to go with Melissa Barrera.
That was my second pick.
As Wonder Woman. I think love she could her, do
man.
It.
I don't get it.
Dude, I thought she was fucking phenomenal in the last Scream.
I love everything about it. You're horny for that Scream movie.
I did. It ruled.
Dude,
I
watched she's fucking Gal Gadot 2.0. Can't act with her eyes.
Whoa, like, no way. Come
on. How dare you, Kal-El? Eyes not moving an inch, dude.
Can't act with her eyes. There is a risk that she might be another Gal Gadot, but I think she's got more to her than that.
I think so, too, because she's been good in all this. She was good in The Heights, and I thought she's fine in those Scream movies. And ultimately, I think just the physicality of the role, I think she'd nail. So, yeah. And again, you're replacing Gal Gadot. So it's like, I think you could have an upgrade there. My next pick, I'm going to go with my Batman. And I know that I believe James Gunn said he wants somebody a little bit younger. So I don't know if this guy would fit the mold, but I feel like it's inevitable this dude gets cast in a superhero role at some point. Richard Madden as Batman. I know he's on that action show right now, The Citadel. He was in it does look bad, but he was in 1917 for half a second. He was in Eternals, which not a great movie, but I remember thinking he was pretty good in
The Bodyguard. He was really good in that underrated show.
He was really good in Rocket Man.
Yeah, that's right
he was in that. Yeah, so I like this guy as an actor, you know, that fits the physicality of Batman. I don't know how tall he is. He might not be, but I'd have to check. But I like him as an actor. And look, Pattinson, I think, is a perfect Batman. But for something in the DCEU, I think he's a charismatic guy, yet to kind of get that huge role, though Eternals is obviously big for him. I think it just kind of makes sense.
Remember he was Icarus and he flew into the sun?
He has been fan cast as so much shit.
He fits the mold. He's like every generic white action star.
Big square jaw.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what James Gunn does with Batman. Because like you said, he's hinted at wanting someone younger, but they've also committed to doing this Damian movie. So if you're going to do a Batman and Son movie, Damian's going to have to at least be 11 years old. So you're looking at least it's a Batman in his 30s.
Yeah.
Mid-30s. So how young can you go? You know?
Yeah, when did Batman start, I guess, the question? Because, like, what Pattinson in The Batman is supposed to be, what, 30?
I don't know if he's supposed to be 30. I think he's even younger than that.
Did I say younger? I think James Gunn's actually looking for an older Batman. I'm sorry.
No, I think he has said younger. I think James Gunn has said younger. Like, he wants to go younger with it. But... Huh. At the same time, like I said, like he's doing this Batman and Son movie, so you got to be at least an older Batman, somewhat older. You can't be fucking 25 with a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
that would be very funny though. It's like, yeah, I was in high school.
He just had Donnie from fucking what's it called, Adam Sandler, and That's My Boy.
That's the problem with the Robin character, is there are very dated elements to that character that you need to update for the 21st, I know they're not doing Dick Grayson, but if they were, you can't have a main character named Dick in a fucking superhero movie.
I love James Gunn. I want him as far away from the Batman projects as possible. Because it's
Rick Grayson. Really? Okay.
Well, not like as far away. I don't want him writing. I don't want him doing the James Gunn humor. It's a character that does not, Batman doesn't need to be funny. Batman isn't funny. Yeah, like, Batman isn't funny in the.
When
the
he is funny, he's very funny, though.
Like, he'll just have like one comment, and that's what makes it funny, because it's like out of character.
And it's him being an asshole. It's not him trying to be funny.
Yeah, like, I don't need Batman to be funny. Yeah. Like, and if you, I can just imagine the field day James Gunn would have with a character named Dick Grayson playing into like all the obviously like pseudo like homoerotic shit
with Batman and Robin.
Like, James Gunn would just have a field day with it. I trust Good James point. Gunn completely with the DCU, but I just don't want him in that writer's room.
Well, he's not. How much of an outside of overseeing it and doing the Kevin Feige role, like, he's not directing that one, is he?
No.
He can't be. He's directing Superman.
The only one, I think the only one he's going to be really hands-on with is the Superman project,
which I think he's perfect for. I think that's great. I think he'll do a great job.
That'll be different than the last take we had for Superman, and even probably the last.
It'll actually have some color takes. And personality. Yeah.
Gooch, your second last pick.
What do I have left on the board? I have
Flash and Superman.
All right. I'm going to go Flash. I'm going to go Aaron Taylor Johnson as Barry Allen. Listen, he's already played a fast guy. He played a fast guy. He played Quicksilver, and they fucked that character up so badly. And Aaron Taylor Johnson, he needs a win. I don't think he's going to get Bond as much as I think the entire internet would love to see him play Bond after his, you know, awesome machismo styled out role in Bullet Train.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Broccoli family will pick an actor as big as him.
Yeah.
But I do think he should be back into the franchise game. Like, I think this would be a good fit. If it's not this, his name has been tossed around for Superman. I don't think he'll get that either, though.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Flash could be interesting. Going back to what you said about Flash and old, what's the Ezra Miller's head ass? He's Barry Allen is a womanizer. Like, Barry Allen is a flirt in the show. He's a flirt in the comics. He's supposed to be this charismatic, funny dude, and he's just not. Like, Ezra Miller is just not that.
It was bizarre the direction they took that character. And I think it was a combination of things. One, you already kind of have that with Batman, so I feel like they didn't want a ton of overlap. And secondly, I think that post Batman versus Superman, they were so desperate to have a comedic relief character that they were just like, hey, it's gotta be the Flash. Just make him a huge nerd.
He's more like a Discord admin, the Ezra Miller version.
Yeah, like he's
so that just happened. Do you wanna be my Discord kitten? That's him. That's the version.
Meow for me. but yeah, no. I just want Aaron Taylor Johnson in more big roles. Like he's clearly in his prime right now. I don't want him to see him do Kick Ass 3, which probably will end up happening. But
I'd actually kind of like to see that.
I like Kick Ass 1.
I hated the second Kick Ass, but I feel like you just manifested it. Like that is the next one to be like, well, let's bring the gang back together.
His name's hot right now. Yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz hasn't done anything in a little bit.
No.
She did the Tom and Jerry movie. Actually, the show she was in last year was pretty good.
What was the name? Yeah, it was
The Peripheral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for my last two,
I have a Chloe Moretz meme I'm going to send you guys.
I think we've seen it. Wait, is it the one with the legs?
No.
The one with the legs.
It's the one with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, God, no. But I'm going to do Green Lantern, also Stewart, and I'll do Michael B. Jordan. I've probably been fan casting that a trillion times.
A bajillion times.
The easiest one to cast, but also at this point with him, I don't know if he'd want it, but I guess he should, shouldn't he?
That's his role. I think he doesn't
to lose.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to do, you know, like we were talking earlier about Alexander Skarsgård. He doesn't want to do like franchise stuff. Like I think he's more interested in doing the smaller, like more daring roles. I think Michael B. Jordan is perfectly content for the rest of his career doing big franchise shit. Like, I think he's happy being that guy.
And also, has to be. He's built for that. Like, he's the most movie star of any movie star I feel like we have right now. So that makes
great
sense.
Charisma. Great in these sort of, and like, even when you look at obviously him as Killmonger, he was like so much, a lot of range there, especially when you look at that versus Adonis Creed. I think if you get him as Green Lantern, you'd be able to get like a lot of very like nuanced sort of performance. Like you can get obviously the comedy that James Gunn's going to want in it, but you could also get a lot different places with it. And then I'll round out with my Superman, Dave Korn. I like Dave Korn. Yeah, I just look at Dave Korn and I'm like, Dave Korn is Superman. Like that guy is David Korn Sweat, right?
David? I still have it written down in my notes as Daniel. I don't know why.
Well, I'm going to stick with it. Put it on the graphic too as Dave Korn. I like Dave Korn as my Superman. So Dave Korn and MBJ rounding me out.
See, I thought you'd be more daring. I thought I'd get that.
No, I'm stealing Dave Korn, but you could also take him. We have all Supermans all across the board. If all three of us took Dave Korn.
I think he's going to get it and I think he's going to be good at it. But right now I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Superman is a character that more than almost any other one, he needs to be like made interesting. You need to forge a way to make him an interesting character because like, yes, he's the superhero, but like, he's just not that interesting. You know,
I think the James Gunn take will change your mind. I think
I agree.
Him just being like an overly optimistic person can be interesting. Like just a symbol of optimism. I think if you do it right, it's very compelling.
You make him into Goku. That's how you work him. Like, I mean, literally,
Goku was a ripoff of Super.
But Goku's better than Superman in every way. Goku would beat Superman's ass.
Dude, no.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I don't even think he'd have to go fucking Super Saiyan 1.
Dude,
he'd beat Superman's ass.
Dude, Goku gets ripped in his own universe now. It's sad.
Dude, he's a beast. And he's like the cooler, I think, maybe because he's a dad, too.
No DBS spoilers, but good lord. What have they done to my boy?
He's a fucking monster, though. And I would take him over Supes any day. But yeah, so I'm going to go Dave Korn, MBJ, Gooch, you or Superman.
Fuck.
You could pick him. We have overlapping picks if you want.
No, that's not fun. I fan cast Henry Cavill. So people are still never going to let it go. I don't think the internet will ever let it go that Henry Cavill's no longer going to be Superman.
He was a good Superman, too. Like, I know people kind of give that shit. I think
I don't like the way the character was written, but he physically... I don't know if there will ever be a better physical fit for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at that guy, you're like, he's fucking Superman. Yeah.
Perfect look. Like, obviously physically huge.
Yeah.
Just... writing was a little different. I still love the scene where he first learns to fly in...
awesome. I'm a Man of Steel defender. I love Man of Steel.
I'm not crazy about it, but it has... great scenes sprinkled in it. Like,
I love the opening. Like, on Krypton, I always thought that was really cool.
I actually thought that it was so fucking bizarre and weird that I did like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Zod, I still think it was good. We're going to see him again in The Flash.
Just see him again. Yeah.
You know what? Give me Elvis Superman. Give me Austin Butler.
I think he could do it.
I could totally see that happening too.
That's gross.
Listen, I grew up in Kansas.
That'd be such a gross Superman.
Yeah, I'm working at the Daily Planet.
Jesus.
Got my nose on the beat of the story. Man, Lois, look at me, Lois. I'm not a Superman. I'm not Superman.
It's a fucking gross pick. That's disgusting.
Dude, I think it would work though. The more I'm actually, this was just a little look at
his face. So gaunt. Like, that is just not Superman.
He's got the frame to build out though. You know, like when
he'd bulk up.
Yeah. He would need to gain like 100 pounds.
He wouldn't need. Oh no,
he's so gaunt. He's like his fucking twig.
Is he really that small?
You pull up that picture of fucking Dune 2. He's still gaunt as shit, and he's like a gladiator in that.
Austin Butler, shirtless, hot.
Yeah, no shit. He's getting hot. He's too.
In your previous searches already.
Oh man, he's 10 years old. In these pics, I can't look at these.
You did that on the Barstool Wi-Fi too.
Fuck, they're coming for me.
Dude, he's just... No, you can't. He can't be Superman. I veto that.
Paul Kent. I gotta go back to Krypton.
Chris, round us out with your Superman.
Okay, this is a guy who I hated for a long time. And then I realized I don't hate him as an actor at all or as a person. I've seen him in interviews. But he kind of... He's on a show where, like, I hated him the way that you hate the quarterback who, like, in high school who fucks the girl you have a crush on. Jacob Lordy from Euphoria, I think would be a good
Superman. If you're doing a very young Superman, I could see that working.
Yeah, he's going to be. I think he'd be a good Bond. I know he's Australian, but I think he could pull that off. In the bit of Euphoria I've watched, he's terrifying on that show. So I don't know if he would fit the wholesome truth, justice, and American way shit that Superman stands for, but definitely got the look for it. I mean, Euphoria seems like a good show, but he's kind of out of place because he's like 30. But
jaw might be too pointy. That would be my only complaint. That's, you need a square ass jaw.
He's very pointy.
Yeah, just in general. Fair. You're a pointy man.
That's my gripe with Hulk too. He's too pointy. Mm-hmm. His chin is too pointy. That's such a brutal casting. It's like, nah, can you get jaw surgery?
Right. No, that's what I was thinking. I wonder if the casting director says that. Like, they give him too pointy. Can't help it. Yeah.
The Superman, like, jaw is just so – like, Batman, you get a little – you just have to have a strong jaw for Batman.
Yeah.
You don't really need, like, a specific jaw shape. Superman has a very specific, like, square, rounded jaw.
Yeah, they should have him eating, like, orange peels like Marlon Brando. Like, it could work. You could see it working. All right, so here's
put a chew toy in his mouth.
Yeah. So, this is our teams. Chris has Jacob Elordi, Superman, Richard Madden, Batman, Melissa Barrera, Wonder Woman. Still don't like that. I both that and the Austin Butler one, stinky. Aldous Hodge, Green Lantern, Alexander Skarsgård, Aquaman, Dylan O'Brien, The Flash, Gooch has Austin Butler, that's Superman, Henry Cavill, Batman, Alexander Daddario, Wonder Woman, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as Green Lantern, Alan Ritchson as Aquaman, Aaron Taylor Johnson as The Flash, I have Dave Korn as Superman, Jake G as Batman, Lashana Lynch as Wonder Woman, MBJ as Green Lantern, Tena Cuerta as Aquaman, and Barry Keoghan as The Flash. This will be interesting. I'm curious how this goes. But I think it would be in favor of Gooch's team, to be honest, with the exception. I think people will disagree with you about Butler, but I think the rest of this list is extremely strong.
There we go. Knowing the comics pays off. Being a nerd.
Knowing the comics. All right, so that's our draft. We'll be back on Thursday or Friday, I guess.
With Jeff. Jeff on that. Yeah, once he gets removed from his chair.
Yeah, once he gets cut out of his chair.
I'm gonna be laughing about that all day. Dude.
He's gonna. Sorry.
Also, I believe the next time we record should be in person.
Because everybody be in town.
I'll be here for the dozen. I don't know what the plug, because that'll be Monday, but yeah, like we'll
figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that'll we'll be back on Friday. So far, once Jeff is cut out of the chair, still might be a little sticky, but we'll work it out.
Have you guys?
It's just still dribbling out. It's like
Have you guys seen the Family Guy sketch about Oliver Platt and how his back fat merged with his with his chair and he stuck to it forever? That's the imagery I'm getting.
It's very similar to what we're looking at with Jeff right now.
Jeff and his cum chair.
Yeah, and his cum throne, just like encrusted to it.
He only uses it when he watches Succession.
You can't turn off the previews on HBO Max. Just stuck on. He can't reach the remote. But yeah, so we'll be back on Friday. But until then, we'll see you guys next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Hey, LCB listeners, we're going to take a quick break for a message from one of our partners.
Whoop. Sleep better, train smarter, recover faster, and feel healthier. Understand and optimize your sleep. Get coaching and insights for every age, stage, and cycle. Track over 140 habits. Get a 360 view of your training and workouts. Never miss a second of data with a wireless and waterproof charger. Expect all new features all the time.
All right, now back to the episode.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium.
Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.